Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 22. Satam hi nitya vijitatma guna svadamna. Kalo vashi krita visarga visarga shakti. Chakre vishristam ajayeshvara saudashare. Nispedyamanam upakarsha vibho pravanam. Sa, that one. Yeah, that one. The Supreme Independent Person who? We're not all together here. Hello? Let's try it again. The Supreme Independent Person who?
The Supreme Independent Person who?
Through his external energy.
Through his external energy.
Has created the material mind. Which is the cause of all suffering in this material world. So what's the cause of all suffering in the material world? It just says, yeah, material mind, that's right. Any material mind is crazy. Tvam, you, are, he, indeed, nitya, eternally, vijita atma, conquered, guna, whose property of the intelligence, svadhamna, by your personal spiritual energy, kala, the time element, which creates and annihilates, vasikrita, brought under your control. Visrija, by which all effects. Visarga, and causes. Shakti, the energy. Chakra, in the wheel of time. The repetition of birth and death. Vishristam, being thrown. Ajaya, by your external energy. The mode of ignorance. Ishvara, O Supreme Controller. Shodasa Agre, with 16 spokes. The five material elements, the 10 senses, and the leader of the senses, namely the mind. Can you see it? Oh. Too many things at once. Nispidyamanam, being crushed by under that at that wheel. Upakarsha, kindly take me to the shelter of your lotus feet. Vibho, O Supreme Great. Prapanam, who am fully surrendered unto you. It's almost as long as a purport. Translation, which is also long. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you, and kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. Purport. The wheel of material miseries is also creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is not under the control of the material energy. Rather, he is the controller of the material energy, whereas we, the living entities, are under its control. When we give up our constitutional position, Jivera Sarupahoy Krishnera Nityadas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material energy and her influence over the conditioned soul. Therefore, he is the Supreme, and only he can deliver the conditioned soul from the onslaught of material nature. Mam eva ye pravajante, mayam etam tarantite. Maya, the external energy, continuously imposes upon the conditioned souls the suffering of the threefold miseries of this material world. Therefore, in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord, but for your lordship, no one can save me. Prahlad Maharaj has also explained that a child's protectors, his parents, cannot save the child from the onslaught of birth and death. Nor can medicine and a physician save one from death. Nor can a boat or a similar means of protection save a person drowning in the water. For everything is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a suffering humanity must surrender to Krishna, as Krishna himself demands in the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva dharman pritcha jamam ekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshi syamima suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. All of the human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time, the wheel of past, present, and future. The word nispidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in the material condition is actually being crushed again and again. To be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will be happy. The word prapanam is also very significant. For unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government, but the same government, if it likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Similarly, one must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we want to be saved from the suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus one can be saved from this material condition. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to the material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control. You are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is connecting us to the reality that Krishna is the controller of this universe. Now, most people find it hard to figure out how God could be good and create such a bad place. The perpetual question, why bad things happen to good people? Why an innocent baby didn't do anything, just cried a little bit? Why does God mercifully kill it? Even in the womb nowadays, the child didn't even have a chance to do anything bad, and yet he's killed. What kind of God is that? And indeed, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna even proclaims that he is creating unlimited universes, destroying them, and he doesn't care at all about it. He's detached, seated as though neutral. What kind of person is that? Not only killing one little baby, he's killing trillions and trillions of living entities, and not one tear comes from his eye. He's so insensitive. And not only he's doing it once, but he's doing it again and again and again. And no one can escape. They're just being tortured again and again. And Krishna, his heart never melts. He keeps on doing it eternally. So that's one perspective on what Krishna is doing. And he doesn't hide it. He talks about it openly in Bhagavad Gita. He's not embarrassed by it. But we have to understand that the original personality of Godhead is Krishna. And if we want to judge anything, we have to judge it from Krishna's point of view. That Krishna is all-loving. And he never changes his attitude. Now, we change our attitude according to the modes of nature that we're being influenced by, and therefore we impose upon Krishna the same idea that maybe he also changes his attitude. If we get into a fight with someone and they hit us in the nose and we hit them in the nose, we generally don't hit them in the nose with pure bhakti. Our mentality has come under the influence of the modes, and therefore we're exhibiting the mode of ignorance. So how can Krishna do so many different things, kill Kamsa, kill Hiranyakashipu, kill Ravana, kill so many warriors on the battle, Kurukshetra, and so many battles, and still claim to be a lover of Radharani? Wouldn't Radharani, he comes back after the battle, and Radharani says, "Oh, Krishna, just get away from me. I'm in a bad mood." No, Krishna never changes his mood. And even if he incarnates as the different avatars who are performing these different pastimes, Krishna's mood doesn't change, and nor are the avatars have the mood that we would expect them to have. When Nrsimhadev kills Kamsa or kills Hiranyakashipu, it's not out of enmity. As a matter of fact, the commentators, as we heard, Nrsimhadev puts the intestines of Hiranyakashipu around his neck as a garland. Not out of in a ghastly mood. "You rascal, all right." No, because he accepted the offering because Hiranyakashipu was originally one of the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay. And therefore he accepted it as an offering from his devotee. Now, when we find that Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nrsimhadev, we know that actually the soul within the heart of Hiranyakashipu wasn't killed. And the body that Lord Nrsimhadev killed, namely Hiranyakashipu, was never alive anyhow. So Nrsimhadev didn't really kill it. Something that's dead can't be killed. So the body wasn't really killed. It just apparently, to our understanding, it was killed. It was just ripped apart, Krishna's energy. But after all, it's just energy, the same energy, earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and false ego. If you take some water and you rip it apart, people say, "Why did you rip the water apart?" Or even you take some cotton, you rip it apart. You say, "Well, why did you rip it apart?" And then you cry, "Oh, I love the cotton. You ripped it apart." No. No one will take this very seriously because the cotton's not alive. The water's not alive. It's just changing one form to the next. Similarly, the whole material creation is just changing one form to the next. The same earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are just being transformed from one form to the next, nothing is really going on of any real significance, except that certain arrangements under the modes of nature. In other words, when we make an arrangement, the value of that arrangement is not so much exactly what the arrangement was, but the real value for us will be what mode of material nature we made the arrangement. That will really determine the value for us, what the arrangement was. So Krishna is always transcendental, and whatever arrangement he makes is equally transcendental. So Hiranyakashipu, the soul within Jai or Vijay, they simply transfer themselves from another body to engage in Krishna's pastimes again. And the body Hiranyakashipu just merged into the elements. Who knows, when we take prasadam today, we may have a piece of Hiranyakashipu prasadam, one of the atoms, formerly in his body. Not that we're eating Hiranyakashipu, because after all, when we're eating prasad, and prasad is transformed by Krishna into something spiritual. But as far as the material energy goes, it's all just Krishna's energy, in one form or another. So when we think Hiranyakashipu was ripped apart, it was just some energy of Krishna's being ripped apart. Because Prabhupada cautions us, and that we go around killing things, saying, well, don't worry about it. It's just Krishna's energy being transformed into a different form. Because then we're denying the soul the opportunity to make advancement towards spiritual life in that particular form. That every form is meant to give the soul an opportunity to utilize that form in Krishna's service, and therefore make some advancement towards the goal of life, Krishna consciousness, and pure devotional service. In any case, Krishna's coming, he's performing all these activities, and the idea is he's trying to demonstrate that whether you directly come in contact with Krishna or not, where everyone is in contact with Krishna through his material energy, through the three modes. And if we want to stay here and play with the three modes, Krishna doesn't advise it. Because you can't win here and you can't break even. Although everyone is imagining that they're going to win. You run you swim the Olympic swimming race, 100 meters swimming race. You practice day and night in order to win and get the gold medal. And finally get the gold medal. You've won. But in order to get the gold medal, you just focus your whole life on swimming. And so at the end of life, you leave your body and come back as a fish. You can't take the gold medal, but you can take your reactions for all your endeavor and come back and swim the Atlantic Ocean. Why just 100 meters? You can have a big swim. And you don't have to change your bathing suit. You don't have to pay for it. So what have you won? You've won a disaster. Although you're maybe puffed up, full of pride for a few minutes when they put the gold medal around your neck. But what price are you going to pay for that elation of pride? So Krishna is coming, showing, don't try to become big in the material world. Try to become small in the spiritual world. And he gives the formula, sarva dharma prichaja mame kam sharanam raja ahang tvang sarapape bio mokshi syami ma sucha. Give up all this, as Prabhupada would say, nonsense. This nonsense trying to become big here, important, successful, victorious, whatever. Give it all up and surrender. Follow my instructions. When Krishna says, surrender to me, it means follow my instructions. He just said, bow down, mister, or else I'm going to, smash you. I say jump, just ask how high. Don't ask it. That's not Krishna's attitude. Krishna is giving instructions for the benefit of the conditioned souls. He's not coming here looking for some good servants in the spiritual world, because good help is hard to find nowadays. Even in the spiritual world, it's hard. So he comes here, seeing if he can pick up a few more gopis. No, that's not why he comes. He comes for the benefit of the conditioned soul to give them an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world and end their problems. And as long as they want to stay in the material world, they can only expect problems. Krishna is not advertising, come to the material world and enjoy. He's advising, don't come to the spiritual material world. Come to the spiritual world, and you can do that if you follow my instructions how to get there. And the first instruction is Sharanagati, accept things favorable for pure devotional service. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy names, serving the deities, accept something favorable. Do something in devotional service. And when you get a little taste, when you get a little understanding, then you can give up the things that are taking your mind away from Krishna. In other words, Krishna knows, because he's God, he knows he's the reservoir of all pleasure. And if someone wants to become happy, they have to tap into that reservoir of pleasure. Now, if they don't like the reservoir of pleasure, what are they left with? Everything except for Krishna is tasteless. And even the things that have taste are only have taste because they're in contact with Krishna. So if someone wants to be apart from Krishna and be happy, they're living in a great illusion. But people don't believe that, and therefore they can struggle in the material world. And Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Purchaja, and people think, well, this person's pretty puffed up. He's saying, surrender to me, and that's exactly what I won't do. I'll never surrender to Krishna. Okay, never surrender to Krishna. Good luck. Go ahead. Krishna doesn't say, well, I'm going to force you to surrender. No, he says, if you don't want to surrender, then good, I'll put you into one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And the more you commit sinful activities, then the more I'll give you opportunities in the lower and lower species to get the reaction for that. Krishna is not advertising. He's saying, no, that's why he comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita. Don't do it. But if someone doesn't want to listen to Krishna, then Krishna doesn't force them to listen to him. Then he gives them Maya to listen to and makes the arrangements for their descent or their elevation in the material world. So accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, and develop some experience that Krishna will actually protect our consciousness at least. And Krishna will maintain our consciousness. If not, other things necessary for our service. And then to have no interest except for Krishna's interest. In other words, to dovetail oneself completely with the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age. And then to realize how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful his plan is and how wonderful everything he does is. And therefore always feel meek and humble. So this is called Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. If one doesn't accept the path of Sharanagati, then he'll have to accept someone else's path. If we don't surrender to Krishna, we'll have to surrender to someone else. Someone else will become our acharya. Bill Gates, someone, Mal Monroe, someone will become our acharya. So if we don't accept Krishna, we'll have to accept someone and follow them, and we'll get whatever results they get. If we accept Narada Muni as our acharya, find out where his footsteps are, and follow them, then we'll get to Narada Muni. And if we accept someone else as an acharya and follow them, then we'll wind up wherever they are. If you become a communist and want to follow Lenin, then you can go and worship him at the tomb in Moscow, his dead body. And if you worship hard enough, wherever he went, you'll go too. And who knows, if you're really sincere and dedicated, then maybe one day they'll put your dead body there for an exhibition too. That's your aim in life. But hopefully we have more intelligence. That's why we hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so we don't make this mistake that most people are making. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So our movement is offering the solution for the four insolvable problems of life, Janma, Mrityu, Vyadichara. So at the end of the purport also it says that to alleviate the suffering, the difficulties, we have to turn to Krishna. So how is that different than to someone who is praying in a church or praying for, please make this person healthy, or please give me this or give me that? Like,
what's the difference? Because
they are also
like we're praying for poison. My dear Lord, please give me poison. I'm thirsty.
Oh, but I mean, aren't they also addressing these four problems by their prayers?
We make you healthy. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. The doctor may make you healthy, but still you're going to die anyway. So how's that addressing the problem? There's no solution. Whether you die today or die tomorrow, what's the difference? You died healthy enough. I prayed to God, He made me healthy, and then I died. So at least I died healthy. What's the advantage of dying healthy?
So what is then the point of turning towards God for
alleviation? Because you develop a little faith. Krishna, if you're sincere and Krishna reciprocates with you, then you at least find out that there is a God. And then hopefully when you come in contact with someone who has more information, then you can change your prayer. Instead of serving my body and making it healthy, serve Krishna and make the soul healthy.
As I understood, it's about making the connection, reinforcing the...
Yeah, when you find out Krishna's there, it develops your faith. And therefore, eventually you can find out, why am I so much interested in making this temporary body healthy when I can revive my relationship with the person who can make the body healthy and make me healthy too? Why should I be so much interested in this temporary body? I should be interested in the person who's helping, could help me, the soul, rather than just my external body. I should be so much interested in asking God to help a temporary body, which is my prison, when I can ask Him to liberate me from this body and go back to the spiritual world. Why waste my time?
So basically focus changes from the object to the act of exchange.
Well, instead of trying to serve a dead body, it changes to serve Krishna. Why should we ask Krishna to serve this dead body? Why don't we ask Krishna so we can serve Him? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Brindaraj Madhavagatam Kijai.